And thank you for watching for the people who are watching and in their homes on live stream. Can we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you. On behalf of the board, I wanted to begin just by saying how challenging this past week or so has been for all of us. The outbreak of the coronavirus is an emergency unlike other emergencies that we have faced. On behalf of the Board of Education, we want to thank Dr. Lewis, all of Central, our administrators, teachers, and staff who have been extraordinary during this difficult time. They have gone over and above the call of duty. We want to also thank our community for their patience and understanding and for the compassion you've shown to each other. Circumstances continue to evolve. We all need to be flexible as things change. We ask for your continued patience and understanding as we are navigating this emergency together. Thank you. Okay. Board announcements? I think we've had enough. Superintendent announcements? Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, we've had a tough week, tough 2 weeks. So I just want to say hello to my community of staff and children who may be listening and thanking them for going online and doing such a terrific job with the work that's been posted. But in all of this, you know, there's always, it takes rain and sunshine to make the rainbow. And I just want, there's some good things happening. Allison Clark has been named Principal of the Year by the New York State. So that is something that we're looking forward to going someday to Albany to see that. And also today I had what Maslow would call a peak experience, because over the weekend we had some students from the high school who had been emailing me about their concerns about online learning and what we were going to do during the closure to fill that learning gap for them. And so I said, you know, since we're expecting everybody to be on online learning, I said, why don't we meet in a meeting on Zoom? So they had petitioned me for some concerns that they had. And so I asked them to choose some of their colleagues, grades 9 through 12. And we had a Zoom meeting. Mary and Ben Wiley was present. I saw Ben around. Ben was present. And we listened to the students for an hour, identifying their concerns. And I have to say that I have never been more impressed with students, and some of the things that they were concerned about, none of them were concerned personally. I mean, they really advocated for their colleagues. So some of the things that they were concerned about, we couldn't address because it will require me to work with the governor's office and with the commissioner's office to make some changes. So let me give you some examples. What's going on with the Regents exam? We are missing so many days of instruction for those of us who need the Regents exam for seat time and for graduation credit. What is that going to look like? Those of us who are taking AP exams, will the College Board delay the AP exams? How will we prepare for the AP exams? I've assured them that if it is within our power and we're back in school, that we would provide some catch-up classes for them after hours, both in Regents and in AP. And I know I was speaking ahead of the board, but I do know the will of the board is always to help students prepare. One student spoke about how will a student with an IEP have their services delivered. He spoke about a student who needed questions read or some additional assistance as he uses the online learning. How will we do that? What about graduation? What if school goes on? What if we're closed? What about the prom? What about the Honor Society requirements to do community service? They don't have those opportunities right now to do the community service. What does the grade look like in the third quarter? Those are all things we have to think about. What about the junior interviews? What are we going to do? Those children who were scheduled for junior interviews. And finally, what about the drama production? What are we going to do? So some of them I had to explain, for example. And the other thing that they did say, I'm sorry, they began the whole statement saying that, you know, the online is not, that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for more face-to-face with the teachers. They're looking for more to be able to have some things explained to them personally. Why aren't we using Zoom? Why aren't we using a digital connection so that we could have their questions answered? So some of the things I said, my responses were the legislator has to make some changes, and I asked them to connect with Chuck Levine, Jim Gorin, and Kevin Thomas. Those are our representatives for our region, and Governor Cuomo, because it is in their hands as to whether the 180 days will be accepted. If we did online learning and if we did more of that, of what we have, that those days count towards the 180 instructional days. That's a legislative action that would be required. There are contractual reasons, because we do have a contract. Our contract calls for 183 days of instruction, and unless the governor and the governor has said that he would forgive the 180, but I made it very clear to them that the forgiveness of the 180 only comes after we have completed all of our vacation days. And so it was a wonderful dialogue with the students, and if any of you are listening, I have been never more proud of being a superintendent in the Plainview Obeth Page system. When we have children who fit that profile that we talk about being advocates, and these children were advocates not just for themselves, but for their classmates, and I am so proud of them, and I just feel like once in your lifetime you get these kinds of experiences, and I got that today, so I'm so appreciated. We will have another Zoom meeting on Thursday at 11 o'clock. I've already invited the Commissioner of Education, and I've invited Chuck Levine. I don't know if they will accept. Chuck did accept. So I figured they should speak directly to their assemblymen and let the assemblymen know what their issues are. Chuck has said absolutely he would accept. I have yet to hear from the Commissioner.
But what a great experience for the kids to learn that kind of advocacy. So that's fabulous. Thank you. Okay. Before we go on to reports and discussion, we wanted to say that as late as last night, the board was still discussing whether or not we would hold tonight's Board of Education meeting. But we decided to go ahead for a few reasons. First, we felt in the midst of this worldwide pandemic, with things changing by the minute, we wanted to continue the district's business. Additionally, we have an exciting announcement to make for the future of POB, and that is, after an extensive national search, having interviewed some incredibly qualified people, including some within our own district, we are thrilled to announce that tonight we will appoint our very own Assistant Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction, Dr. Mary O'Meara, as the next superintendent of Plainview Obeth Page. We know that she will continue to move mountains and help us reach even higher, even greater heights. While we will appoint Mary tonight, we will celebrate with a meet and greet sometime in the future. So with that, can I have out of order a motion to appoint Dr. O'Meara, Superintendent of Schools, effective July 1st, 2020. Seth, second. Ginger, all those in favor? Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Speechless, which anyone in the audience who knows me well knows that's impossible. But I just wanted to let the community know how thoughtful you all were in the process. From the posting that showed that the community, you listened to everything they asked they wanted in the next superintendent, to the questions that were posed to all of us, to the writing samples, but ultimately to the respect you showed everybody through the process. And it really just tells you what POB is about. On my first interview, I talked about a fit. And from my first interview here with Dr. Molieri, always saying his first line, by way of introduction, could you tell us about? And I have to tell you, all along the way, I just knew this was a very special place. From the teachers in the district, any kind of learning you offer them, they really go at it, and they work very hard. Our administrative team, they really are second to none. If this weekend has not proven what POB staff, administration, Board of Ed, and community members are made of, including our students, nothing else will. We've never faced a time like this. It's great on-the-job learning, and Lorna keeps saying, I can't wait. Leave that to Mary. But I would be remiss if I didn't recognize the gentleman to my right, because I have to tell you, I call them my foxhole guys, because these are the men that you can call at any time and in any situation, and they are quick to stop what they're doing and process the situation with you, lend their experience and knowledge in a very respectful manner. We've had a good time through the process, and it's just so heartening to know they've been behind each and every one of us along the way. And Dr. Lewis, the consummate mentor, whether you want her or not, she's going to tell you the way to do it. And you know what? In times like this, even how your hair looks.
I'm a teacher.
That's true.
But I have to tell you, the most important part about Dr. Lewis is she's a teacher, you know, and I think we're kindred spirits that way, because I'm sure Dr. Lewis will tell you at one point during her retirement of her early days in Jamaica with her piece of asbestos, how she was holding school. And while she was doing that, years later, there was a girl in East Rockaway who was holding school in her aunt's house and teaching her younger brother how to play accordion. And it's just in us when you're a teacher. And when people talk about she's so real or she gets it, it's because they are experiencing that teacher in you. And you always trust your teacher. So I know there are big shoes to fill, but there's been wonderful examples to follow. And if anything has tested to see if our system is tight, it's this current situation, because if it were not for the safety and security that Chris has put in place, the dynamic people that Dr. Molieri has, you know, charted through into our classrooms, rich with our tight finances, that we have this wiggle room to do some really incredible things. And and the teachers and the administrators who just know so much about curriculum instruction and technology. So this is a celebration for the district, and I appreciate you giving me the honor to lead it. Thank you.
Awesome. And Mary, we're hugging and kissing you virtually.
One more thing, because my parents and my eldest daughter, who just gave me the best gift, a grandson, is in the audience. But my dad always said to us growing up, you know, we're building champion people. With everything you do, we're building a champion person. Mm. And my mother's like Mr. Rogers, like, always find the good in a person. So, and the man who doesn't know who I am any longer is my husband. And he's leading the charge of the five children that represent almost every type of child we have in our district, our middle-of-the-road student, our AP scholars, and our special needs son. So thank you, sweetheart. It was nice knowing you.
So, Mary, from your foxhole team, this is from
Aww.
Foxhole.
No hug, though.
No hug.
We've been together all the time. We've been in the foxhole together.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Oh, my God.
There, right. You can hear her now.
Okay.
Right. Is she here? Do you want to do something? Do you
want to? One second.
Hello?
Okay.
Hi. You want to make that louder? No? No?
Why can't you do this? I do. But you know what?
Hold on.
One second, Tara. I was sent this on behalf of the administrators, supervisors, and directors, known as ASDA. They've prepared the following statement and asked me to read it regarding the appointment of Dr. Mary O'Meara as our newest superintendent of schools. In an attempt to adhere to the government's latest recommendations regarding social distancing and gatherings, we regret that our full membership is unable to attend this most special Board of Education meeting, as we had greatly anticipated. It is for that reason, as well as our interest in the safety and well-being of all in attendance tonight, that our congratulatory remarks are submitted electronically. We want to assure the members of the Board of Education, Central Administration, and the school community that we fully support and celebrate the appointment of Dr. O'Meara as our new superintendent of schools. In the short time you have been here, Dr. O'Meara, the entire Plainview All Beth Page community has benefited from your expansive knowledge of curriculum and instruction, innovative thinking, problem-solving capabilities, and empathetic leadership. Your skill and talent for fostering a culture of teamwork and respect is welcomed, acknowledged, and greatly appreciated. We have every confidence that the groundbreaking work that has been accomplished by our leadership team will continue to thrive and grow under your leadership. This appointment comes in an extremely challenging time for our entire nation. Plainview All Beth Page is well prepared and has been recognized for our response to this crisis because you are here, Dr. O'Meara. You have cultivated a culture of kindness and well-being, which has framed our approach to our work. We look forward to the future, working collaboratively with all members of the Board of Education, Central Administration, the PCT, Teamsters Unit, as well as our parents and, of course, our most important constituents, our students, as we move forward in the service to the next generation of civically engaged citizens. Congratulations, Dr. O'Meara. We look forward to the future of Plainview All Beth Page under your leadership. Nina, do you want to say anything? Sure. She did.
On behalf of the PCT, we would like to welcome Dr. Mary O'Meara to the helm of POB, Plainview Old Beth Page School District. Since you've come here, we've also found a link, someone who is communicative, someone who is willing to listen to ideas and concerns of our staff members, on behalf of our students, on behalf of the programs that we look to employ to get the best out of our kids. So with a little less time to prepare, perhaps, than my ASDA folks did, we still welcome you with open arms. We look forward to working together with you. We have every confidence in your ability to lead us through these difficult times. We know you have been well mentored, but we also know that you came with skills of your own. And we look forward to cultivating an experience of working together with all of our other units to do the best that we can for all of the children and the community members of Plainview Old Beth Page. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to read a statement by Tara Rock, our sixth board member who can't be here this evening. Although I'm trying to participate using telecommunications, I've asked Debbie to share the following statement for me. It is with great disappointment and regret that I have decided not to attend this meeting in person. I am under the weather and have absolutely no reason to believe that it is related to COVID-19, but out of respect of everyone's heightened concerns regarding health, my family included, I have decided it would be best under these circumstances to stay home and follow along with my community and many of my neighbors. I'd like to express my deep appreciation to Dr. Lewis for her leadership as we forged the path in these uncharted waters and to the amazing team we have in Central and Administration who are unstoppable, working day and night for our children and our community. I also want to thank our teachers and clerical and custodial staff for all of their tireless hard work and dedication at this time. You are the embodiment of our community. I couldn't be more POB proud. In addition, I'd like to congratulate Dr. Allison Clark on being named Elementary Principal of the Year by the School Administrators Association of New York and the National Association of Elementary School Principals. What an incredible honor for her personally and for us as a community. I am sorry I cannot be there in person to extend these congratulations and to thank all of you for all you do for kids. Since I am not there physically and can't move or second a motion in favor of appointing our next superintendent of schools and approving her contract, I want to express my unfettered excitement and strong support for Dr. Mary O'Meara. I also want to express my gratitude to our school community and the community at large for providing their input, which I strongly considered in developing questions and arriving at this decision. A significant amount of time, energy, and thought went into this process, and the decision was not arrived at lightly. Due to the momentous nature of this decision and my inability to be there in person, please accept this statement of appreciation to the community and my fellow board members, and my sincere congratulations to Dr. O'Meara. I look forward to the next chapter with you as our educational leader, and I'm excited to see where you will take us.
Okay.
Now we're going to go on to reports and discussions, the budget presentation.
So tonight's presentations, the main presentation will be from my colleague, Mr. Donnarumma, on transportation, health, and safety. We also have brief presentations on some ancillary programs, private and parochial school, 4th R adult ed, and the senior citizens program budget. During Governor Cuomo's press conference today, he did spend a short amount of time talking about the budget process up in Albany, which he says is problematic. They're trying to finish it up quickly, and the basic feedback is we don't know if they're trying to get a skinny budget through, and once we're through the COVID-19 concern, they can go back and really finish the budget. You know, we're not too sure if they know what revenues they're working with. Certainly, the economic impact of this is decreasing tax revenues. They haven't been able to quantify that yet. There's information they're waiting for from the federal level. So we might be in for a very interesting budget season, which is supposed to be wrapped up by April 1st, but just like everything, may somehow get delayed. So with that, I'll quickly move through the superintendent's proposed budget. I know we've been through this before, and then we'll move on to the next presentations. The last presentations we had really spoke to all of the wonderful things that go on in our schools, as we saw the presentations from our principals, directors, from Dr. O'Meara about our curriculum process. And we will kind of go forward, I would quite say, except for what Mr. Don Rumo has to present, to the less exciting portions of the budget during the next two budget meetings. We are expecting a bit of an enrollment decline. Thank you very much for coming. But we're expecting that to bounce up in the subsequent year. The proposed budget as it stands now carries a budget-to-budget increase of 2% with a proposed tax levy of 2.99%. We are working on the revenue side of the budget with the hope and expectation that proposed tax levy will be different when we finally adopt the budget. The main budget driver going into next year are salaries and related payroll taxes. We spent a good amount of time at the last budget meeting really talking about that portion of the budget, the $11 million portion of the budget, which represents about 7% of our budget that makes the Plainview Old Bethpage educational experience special. The threats to revenue, really, we're really concerned about state aid at this point as tax receipts in the form of sales tax are really going down as businesses shut down. that will play a big part in both the federal and state aid packages that come to school. The tax cap, the consumer price index multiplier is 1.81, which is down from last year. However, we were happy as we went through the tax levy presentation a couple of meetings ago to see that the new brick and mortar portion of our tax levy multiplier is up, mostly due in part, well, really due to the Country Point development and that finally coming out the tax rolls. So new assessed value in the district has increased by more than 1%, and that's good news for residents. We've been through many of the things that this proposed budget supports in terms of responsive teaching and learning, citizenship, and safe learning environment, some more of which Mr. Donnarumma will go through tonight. We talked about facilities improvements. One of the things that is on tonight's board agenda is the legal notice and along with the capital reserve resolution, so we might touch base on that. Where we last left off, we look at a Proposition 2, the expenditure of the capital reserve, where we are asking, we may ask voters to authorize the expenditure up to $3 million for improvements at POB Middle School on the athletic fields, electrical system upgrades at three schools, and new fire alarm and emergency generator systems at Stratford Road. The number we had suggested at that point was $3 million. If you recall, the board asked us to look at the cost of lighting some of the facilities at Plainview Old Bethpage Middle School, and that cost is $230 million. So that is something that should be discussed. $230,000. Big difference in that number. Thank you. Good catch. So that's something we should discuss when we get to that part of the meeting. We have our scheduled PTA meetings. Hopefully we get to do these in person. The budget vote will be on May 19th. It's the statewide budget vote date. And we will move on to Mr. Donnarumma's presentation. Question? Yes.
I really don't know where it would come under, but in this upcoming budget, should we be putting money aside in case something like this pandemic happens again when we talk about the cost of cleaning? I mean, the number $300,000, $400,000, and how important it would be just to make sure that, you know, when they talk about that you have too much money in your reserve funds, or we talk about our rainy day funds, and we have our reasons for it, and obviously we will be using some money to help us get through this. Are you going to put in any additional monies just in case, or would establish a reserve fund for it? What would we do?
Well, in terms of reserve fund, there's no legal means to have a reserve fund for an event like this. School districts don't have access to such a reserve. You know, this certainly is a momentous case. We haven't really seen something like this. Of course, we had Sandy. And in many cases, insurance covered that. Insurance is not covering this. So I think in our conversations, we talk about what plan should we put in to our kind of our emergency management plan. If we have something like this, one thing we didn't know going into this and we still don't know is how much time do we have. When this first came to Plainview Old Bethpage, we thought we didn't have much time, right? And then the rest of the state seemed to catch up to us, and the length of our closings is extending. So knowing that now, what we didn't know a week and a half ago, perhaps we make different decisions. I don't really suggest putting more money in for this on an annual basis, because we don't know if something like this is going to happen every year, and $300,000 is a big number. But I do think we need to discuss strategies, and they might have a dollar cost to it, which we're already talking about internally, of what if something like this happens, how do we address it?
I think my concern is that we've heard that we're going to hit a spike, and then around April, May, we're going to see a decrease.
but doctors of infectious diseases are saying in October, this is going to come back full force again. That's what I'm worried about for next year. I can't talk about the following year. I'm just looking at 1 year out to make sure that, you know, what's going to be covered, and we're going to find out eventually what the state is going to help and the federal government.
That's a good point.
But should we just have a cushion in there just in case there's no one who's – because now everybody's affected. And so when we thought maybe, you know, it's just our school district with the extra cleaning and stuff like that, it's going to be every school district who doesn't have it in the budgets looking for help. So I was just wondering, being very pragmatic, we wanted to put some money into the budget.
Just, I guess, to piggyback off of what Ginger's saying, I mean, I know we, through our common sense budgeting over these years, have made sure that we hit the statutory max of the 4%. So we have that. But there is a repair reserve, right? And so maybe, I don't know to the extent we could use some of the, or put money up more into the repair reserve, we could look at how that could be used to help offset some of the things.
As long as we know we have something there, just in case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you could legally use the repair reserve, but it seems like that may be an area if we're doing...
Good idea.
...that are not getting reimbursed from the state or the federal government. It's just something to consider. Again, we're through our budget process now. We're going to then focus on our reserve plan.
Right.
Usually do that subsequent to that. So maybe that's something we should consider.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's a good idea.
By having the governor and the president both declaring state of emergencies, and FEMA now is involved, does that loosen up any funds for the school district? Well, FEMA. Well, I don't. I know FEMA is part of the national state of emergency. I don't know if this would fall into it, and does it open up more funds for the state, hence trickling down to a school?
Well, everything's moving so quickly, we don't really know. I know Dr. Lewis has been involved with our representatives to get reimbursed for the cleaning. So we are expecting that to pan out. As far as other funding mechanisms, everything is happening so quickly that we don't quite see the legislation for it. So we, you know, it's rapidly evolving. So we
so,
need to see where,
I
what
spoke
our
to Chuck today. In fact, he's working on it, and he has assured me that we will have those funds. My issue might be, should this happen again, you know, we can't go through this again. It's $313,000. Nobody has that sitting out there. We have to develop a protocol. Now that all the buildings are deep cleaned, we have to have a protocol going forward. But between Chuck and Jim, Jim Gorin, I am absolutely assured that we will get the refund.
For this year.
For this.
I'm worried about
for this
year.
Right.
So we'll do some homework and come back with some ideas and recommendations to discuss at the next meeting.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Other questions before we move on?
Just before you go on, for the people who are listening, during the public participation section of the meeting, if you would use the Ask the Superintendent button on the website, then I could respond if there is a question that is asked. I'll respond appropriately.
Of course you would. Thank you.
All right. Good evening. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about the budget for 2021 for health, safety, and transportation. It is refreshing to talk about something other than COVID-19. So that's a good thing for sure. And I'm a little disappointed that Mary's family left because I thought they were here to see my presentation. So
there are about 200 other people who are dialed into this meeting right now. So
that's
you have
good.
Actually the biggest audience so
that's
far.
That's good. Perfect. That's it. Good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, soon to be. So let's take a look at it. So the first thing we're going to go through is we're going to take a look at a summary of what has happened this year as far as from the transportation perspective. And when you think about it, when things are normal and we have our regular school day happening each and every day, we are transporting almost 5,300 students to and from their schools. And it's not just inside of our district, it's also outside of our district. So Yes, we have our approximate 5,000 that go to our in-district schools, but we do transport to over 25 different private and parochial schools and also 20 out-of-district special education programs. Something that I did add to the presentation this year are the percentages, which really illustrate how heavily we depend on WE Transportation, and it's for a good reason. Over 98% of our transportation needs are handled by WE Transportation. We do in district, we have 4 vehicles, we run 2 each and every day. That's less than 1%. We have a little bit with Suburban, a little bit with BOCES, a little bit with First Students, and also there's educational as well that we depend on for just 1 or 2 routes. The point I bring that up is because the more that I can push into the bucket of WE Transportation, the more that I feel like we're going to have better service for our students. So that's one of my goals for next year, is to get even more of that percentage above the 98.16 with WE Transportation. Some of the new stuff for transportation this year, all of our equipment of all of our in-district vehicles, we have GPS data accessible from my office live, as well as we have cameras on our buses. So what that helps, and that's made a difference, is being able to troubleshoot problems for parents. If someone calls in and they have a complaint about a bus not showing up, it's not a telephone tag game where I have to call the bus company to call the bus driver to get a response to get it back to me. We can actually look at to see what happened on a live basis. We also took a look at something at the high school this year. We put into place consistent 10th period routes at the high school. So for students, it's an easier means of knowing which bus to get on. It's the same bus in the morning, same bus in the afternoon. And then we also revised our kindergarten ID tags for the new students to our district. When you take a look at the distribution of students for private and parochial, we have approximately 256 students currently that we're transporting to and from those programs. Obviously, the bigger numbers are for Hank Plainview and Uniondale. We also transport many students to Chaminade as well as St. Anthony's and Solomon Schechter and Our Lady of Mercy. But that's the breakdown. That changes from year to year, and we're currently in the process of collecting applications due by April 1st for the following school year for 2021. So we're in a good spot for that. When you take a look at the distribution, sure.
I know these are typically by mail,
yes.
But in case of another delay, yep. Since we are very fluid right now with our world, are we going to possibly extend that deadline?
So the first thing is basically it's not just by mail that we allow people to send it in. So really we've put a process in place in my office where we try to closely monitor this as much as possible. We accept it via email if it's a signed copy, and then it's sent to us via email. Fax machine, they can send it in mail. They can drop it off in person, which is limited at this point. But I would want to take a look at it in the next week or so to see how far off we are to possibly make a recommendation if that's possible. But I know that that's a hard deadline by the state, that April 1st. But it is something I'm starting to think about.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
But I'll get an update for sure. Yep. if we take a look at the transportation budget, you're going to see some consistencies from year to year. Things that I will point out as far as the changes, if you take a look, something that would grab your attention is going to be 5510, 50249, or 0049. You're going to see a decrease. It's just that the supply money is being coded better from year to year. You're going to see that increase down in the safety supplies, more of an emphasis on the IDs, the lanyards, the holders, all the stuff to support our access control as we move forward that we put in place in all our buildings. That's something that I did want to take a moment and highlight. Other than that, we have... Let's see here, contractual and other. I want to speak a moment about the contractual and other increase from $5,900 to just over $20,000. There's things that we're looking to improve in our district as far as transportation. One, our transportation system right now, you have to be physically at a computer. It's license-based. You can't access it via the web. So if you think about a situation where you need to operate offline or from home, you really have to create legwork to get back to you. You guys see me carry that computer around. It's because I have a VPN that gets me back to the computer, which has the transportation software. But they have a web-based version. So that's going to include an upgrade for us to be able to access it. If we have to be off-site, we can access that software, which is good. We also have a process in our district when you talk about paper copies, going back to Ms. Eckstein's comment regarding applications. Our field trip process is really labor-intensive with paper.
A piece of paper gets filled out in the building. It gets routed and goes into the assistant superintendent's office for curriculum for approval. After it goes to my office, it goes to the superintendent's office. It comes back and forth. There's an electronic process that can bring us up to the 21st century. So that's something called BusHive, where it's an electronic process. And the good part about that system is We Transportation is used to that system already. So I can feed that information to them without creating spreadsheets and all the other manual work that we do in our office. And it also provides us and puts a lens on certification requirements for our bus attendants, for our bus drivers, et cetera. It's a nice product upgrade. And then the last piece in there, which I think is equally important, if not the most important thing, comes out of JJP. Joanna Clampett has brought forward an idea to revise the elementary dismissal process, which I'm really proud of. When people step up and they create a process in the building for change, this is something I really want to stand behind. So when you hear about the process, when you talk about field trips, a paper copy going from one place to the next place to the next place to the next place, there's a lot of potential for error in there. It's a similar process where it would provide parents electronic input in being able to submit dismissal requests. So if you think about it, at the end of the day, we have the typical go on a bus, but we also have walker, we also have pickup, right, car, we also have childcare, we also have, there's a lot of fluid pieces. So it's a system, it's of low cost, but all of the elementary buildings have supported it. We vetted this through our transportation committee with the PTA, and it's something so far no one has balked at as far as a change to try, which is good. And I think in the end, it's going to provide a cleaner system. Go ahead.
So if you look at the second page,
sure.
I just had just quick questions. One is the contract transportation, the main contract, that's a normal increase that's included in there, or is that additional buses that were needed?
So year over year, there's about a 3% increase. That's what's built into our contract. It's actually dead on 3%. But there's also fluctuation. So when I budget, I go by actuals right now, the kids that I'm delivering from school to school, the numbers of buses, and I have to build in some sort of capacity because a bus could range from $70,000 to $80,000 to put on a bus for 10 months. So those are the closest figures that I had midway through the year. And you're going to see a shifting in the other two codes for special education.
That's
as
the other question, right? So you saw an increase in special ed out of district, but a decrease in the private and parochial.
Correct.
That's efficiencies in terms of the use of the buses, the savings, and additional increases in the number of special ed out of district?
It's spot on. If you were to speak to We Transportation, I am neurotic with the efficiency. So what I try to do is get as much as I possibly
can. That's an accurate statement.
Truly am a neurotic person with that. But you have efficiency, but at the end of the day, I try to get it as close to as possible without having the transfers that occur. So that accurately represents that 3% increase plus the balancing that I have. Obviously, things can change next year, and it may throw that off a little bit.
Susan?
So just going to piggyback because Seth took – those are the same things that I pulled out. Going back to your statement earlier that you want to increase WE to more than 98%, I know contractually you said 3%. Can we also, because we're going higher, would they be more – I mean, you're not going too much higher, obviously, because there's not as much wiggle room. Is there more volume discounting? Or when we have to, if we're giving them so much business, well, if you're trying to target almost 100%, obviously you can't be 100%. But, well, because if we use our own, then you already have.
I follow your question. So there is no volume discount. It's not if I get to a certain number, the prices do drop. But I will tell you confidently the level of service we get from WE Transportation for our students, our parents, and our community is surpasses any one of our other vendors. And it also provides me the option in my office to do things in a creative fashion. Right now, without that extra pieces with a little bit of room in there, it's hard to take on these special requests that I get continually throughout the year. So that provides me with more room to operate.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I just wanted to ask the contractual and other.
Sure.
All of the things that you described after you pointed that out,
yep.
That is included in there, and that's what you're going to be looking to do.
Correct.
Next year.
Yep. So TransFinder is about $2,400. The BusHive is about, let's see here, it's $8,900. And the Pickup Patrol is roughly $2,900 of that. So those are, you know, one of that's a one-time cost for BusHive of $2,500, but then that would reduce over time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So as we continue to move on with the presentation here, What you're going to take a look at is going to be just the overall transportation costs. You can see just like a similar pattern when you take a look at the overall cost. One piece is really taking up most of our spending. It's the in-district, but there is significant spending if you look at what private and parochial. It's 70% of our transportation budget, and special ed is actually lower than that. It's about 13.5%. But that's the breakdown of where the funds are spent throughout the year for transportation. All right. When we take a look at moving from last year into the budget next year, things that we're working on, things that we want to do. Obviously, we want to provide the same level of service to our students, whether they're in district, out of district, and private parochial. It supports having bus attendants. We have approximately 30 of them working right now, training them, supporting our student needs, and their flexibility on our transportation equipment. The big focus for next year in transportation scheduling is going to be really a revised 11th period schedule up at the high school. We want to make it just as manageable as the other schedules we've changed. We've revised the zero period so far at the middle schools, the 10th period. The 11th period is the last one for us. We want to make it really seamless for the students to not have to worry and figure things out, because right now it's a little cumbersome to go through. Obviously, I talked about Bus Hive, Pickup Patrol. We're going to a cloud-based transportation system, which is good. And don't forget, we do maintain and own 4 buses that we're going to support. Field trip opportunities, often overlooked. We provide so many specialized opportunities out of my office as far as transportation beyond the regular school day. I'm very proud to support Project Challenge. The work study is my favorite program in this district, to be quite honest with you, delivering the kids to the various work sites and seeing them operate and supporting them. It's great to see that. But on top of that, we have fun time. We have tag after school. And even beyond that, we support Senior Citizen on Fridays, going to their programs as well. So we have a lot going on that really comes together nicely once we get out of the first couple weeks of September, which is good. As we move forward, we get out of transportation. Take a look at health, safety, and security. A lot is happening in that area, although it's pretty quiet right now, knock on wood. But with your support and this district support, we really have put a lot of things in place that we've gotten used to this year that have made such a difference. And what I'm referencing is really the evening enhanced security. You have buttoned up with your support the same protocols we run during the day after school. So our buildings are no longer just accessible through any door at any time. We have a uniform process where people have to check in. We are able to manage who's coming in and out of our buildings. That has happened. We're tightening it up on facility use even before the current thing that we're looking at. And we're able to use the same systems during the day. You know about the POB Command Center. I won't go into that too much, but one thing I will touch on is there has been a pilot of the FlySense program at the high school, and as we've gotten used to the system and made adjustments, and the high school has done a tremendous job in responding to that system, it has started to really inform us as to where our concerns lie. So we had really a spike in our reports, and then about a month ago when we started to get more refined with our systems and responding to these concerns, it really has quieted down for a brief time. But remember, it's in a limited capacity right now. It doesn't exist in all bathrooms at the high school, and I know that the board has supported that program being enhanced throughout this year and next year as well in various spaces.
You're going to, next year, it's also going to be in the middle school?
Yeah, so our plan right now is to take a look at the bathrooms, the existing bathrooms this year at the high school as well as the middle school, and focus next year on the locker rooms at the high school, both locker rooms. That's a massive project, just those two locker rooms. So that's where the focus in this budget is going to be pointed at.
And just the bathrooms in the middle school?
Yeah, in the
seventh and eighth grade room?
Yeah, so I wouldn't cover, for example, upstairs B House, putting in, vape centers in the fifth grade boys' bathroom, girls' bathroom. I just think it's not a valuable decision to make. I wouldn't do that. It would be concentrated in eighth and seventh grade bathrooms.
Yeah.
And that's really where we would start. If we find information that lends itself to more, I'd bring back recommendations to the board and the superintendent.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. So another big system that we're taking a look at it increasing access is the one-button lockdown system. You know what it does. But it's really, we focused on the accessibility, not having to go find one of the buttons. It's being located, all the buttons. Wherever you see a fire pull station, right next to it is going to be a lockdown button. So you have access to emergency systems. You're going to get used to them. You're going to be able to find them in case of a need. And then the most most important thing on that page, rather than systems, is our partnership with the Nassau County Police Department. They are an outstanding organization that has helped me in my career. It has helped this district, and it's nice to be able to just bounce ideas off them and feed from them. They're just a great, supportive organization. In the last 3 years, I've seen such a difference in their support they provided us. As we move forward, we take a look at equipment. In our equipment budget, you're going to notice that there's going to be an increase from $123,000 last year to $152,000. And that really comes from supporting additional camera access within the district, finishing up our lockdown pull stations at our elementary schools, revising and implementing a reunification system. One of the loose ends in our district is really the reunification process, trying to reunite, if we had a serious crisis during the school day, reunite kids with their parents in an organized fashion. Going through what we're going through, it really lends itself to want to develop and implement a foolproof system that we can use existing data. So that's something I'll talk to you a little bit more a little later on, called Raptor, that supports that as well. And that would take the bulk of that right there. Go ahead, Susan.
So regarding cameras, and I don't want you disclosing everything, I know we have a great camera system on the perimeter of the buildings.
Sure.
But some of our parking lots are a little, like at the high school and at POB Middle School, some of our parking lots are a little bit further out perimeter-wise.
Yep.
Are we also using cameras, let's say, on those outer edges in the dark corners of those parking lots?
So any process with adding cameras on, I respect where you're coming from. I involve the building principal. I try to get their feedback. They know their buildings the best. I mean, I look at it on a global perspective, but there are key areas that they have as guaranteed they want to address before I go to my ideas. So in consultation to them, I'd get their ideas and where they want. They've sent them consistently throughout the year if they need a hallway covered. Once we get to that saturation point, then I would say, how could we increase coverage? We're pretty good on the perimeter of our buildings, to be quite honest with you. There's some areas inside the building in key hallways and things of that nature, entrances that we really do need to button up.
I mean, I just trust you. I just wanted to ask that question.
No problem.
Thank you.
Let's see here. Where else do I want to point out some security camera maintenance? You're going to see a decrease. It's not because we're doing less. It's just, think about the monies that you've put forth to upgrade our systems. You would expect that that would have to go down. That's what that is representing there, a decrease of about $5,000. If we move on to the next page for health and safety, you are going to see, for uniforms, you're going to see an increase there. You know, there's no question we've hired a lot of staff. This year I ran pretty tight with uniform money, trying to get, you know, the right uniforms. And we want our folks to be distinguished in our buildings. You don't want to have to figure out who's the security guard. We want them to be in uniform clothing. And I'm going to take that same approach. I think it's respectful for the parents and the community when you have a bus pull up and there's an adult on the bus, for them to be identified who they are. So to have some sort of district, you know, emblem, T-shirt, something on for the parent to be more confident to know that this is a district employee. So I want to focus on buttoning up, getting the security guards what they need, but also the bus monitors what they need as well. And Rich, did you want to talk about that one code?
I actually want to point out two codes on that page. The one on top, testing services, 1622413, you can see there's a $15,000 proposed increase over the past year. If you go back to 17-18 actual, you see we spent $43,000, a little bit more than that. The real difference between 17-18 and 2021 is 17-18 was the last time we had to do water testing. We're doing the water testing again. We have to do our triennial asbestos surveillance that happened in 17-18, but we also have to do our building condition survey. All right, so the increase is really driven by the water testing and the building condition survey there. The line, BOCES Health and Safety Services, we're actually proposing an additional service there. We subscribe, like every school district in Nassau County, to the Nassau BOCES Health and Safety Service. They provide training, advice, and things like that to all school districts. They're very, very helpful. Peter LaDuca is probably a name you've heard before, and he's really our main contact there. As we move through the years, we continue to see more oversight in the area of environmental record keeping and regulations. So, for example, this past year we had a Department of Labor asbestos inspection. We did well. We have the water testing coming up. We have to keep records on that. This is round two. Regulations on science labs and chemical hygienes are tightening, and the record keeping with that. Fire inspections, OSHA compliance and record keeping, and other regulatory compliance. We're proposing that we subscribe to an additional BOCES service, which gives us one-day access to a trained health and safety manager who will help manage our records, provide additional training, and really make sure we're hitting all of these compliance issues that are coming down the pike, that if you miss one of these compliance issues, the penalty is greater than the cost of this particular service. So really that's the largest increase in that budget line.
Thank you, Rich. So just to focus on next year and just to support everything that the budget will put into place, you know, there's a lot of key things that this district has supported over the years, and I do want to take a moment just to pour it out. The, you know, on the top is the most important out of any of this. The two top phrases on the sentences up top, to say something anonymous reporting app and the Go Guardian brings us information. So before things are happening, it's proactive. It's getting information, working with students, working with parents, working with administrators who are incredible at responding to those alerts. And equally as important is Nassau County Police Department. You know, they are continually they're not losing their drive on helping us. You know, their focus for next year is to train and support our night facility use folks, the groups, to really get in there and to explain the importance of why doors cannot be chocked and why you need to come in through a certain entrance and what to do in an emergency. So that's they're not giving up. They really want to do help us. And just the overall training and support. You know, we're always looking to get better. We're humbled every year when we go through something. We want to learn and get better. We're also going to support, obviously, cameras in key areas. We're going to finish up our one-button lockdown system. You know, the secondary buildings are going to be completed this year, but the elementary schools will be completed as soon as we get into the next budget cycle. You're going to have that increased presence. What I mean by that is the high school, middle school limited bathrooms, and also the two locker rooms at the high school will be covered. And to finally put in place a reunification software connected to our student management system, Infinite Campus, where we can feed data between those two systems. That is going to be really, really important. Also revising our visit management software. And I'm going to stop and just talk about that for a brief second. So you guys are aware, and we're all aware, that the entry vestibules are coming to us over the summertime. They're going to start and be completed over the summertime. With that, in three of our buildings, lends the conversation about revising our process for scanning in. In a couple of our buildings, you'll still be able to hand a license and take that license through a teller window and process it just like we are doing now, but in a different way. But in the others, it has to become a self-serve. So our current system, if you see it sitting on a desk, one, visually, it blocks our guards sometimes. It's a big monitor that sits in front of them, a separate system. But we can't put that back on the pedestal that it was delivered on and just stick it inside of our vestibule. One of the biggest obstacles that we had to work through with SED is not blocking egress. So you can't just simply take that bulky machine, put it in the vestibule, and get away with that. So it revises the remoteness of having to do that system. Still preserve what we have, scan a license, check it against the registry, print out the IDs, do all that, but we have to do it in a different way. So Raptor is a system that has come on board to basically what the computer you have there driving those cameras can also drive with another auxiliary monitor. It can drive the system. So you don't need another computer to do it. And the way that they do their pricing and packaging of it is you get them together and it actually works out on a yearly basis, less than we're paying for just the visitor management piece for scholarship. It's about $300 less. Of course, there's the upfront fees the first year, but it's something I fully support. You know, we've had it for some time. We're moving into our fourth year, but with everything that's being decided on, it's probably the right time to make a decision and go in a different direction for many reasons. And don't forget the comprehensive security coverage. You have coverage from when we open the buildings to well after our facility use ends. We have them clear out our buildings and hand over that each night. Once they're done, they hand it over to the custodians to give an all clear that everyone's out of the buildings for facility use. Very, very important. And obviously, our district patrol and the command center is equally important. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up and take questions. Ginger?
Really not a question, but if there are people listening in who don't understand or haven't learned about a lot of our systems,
sure.
Could you just say something a little bit about the Say Something Anonymous reporting and our Go Guardian, because it may help some people if they do have a problem?
Yeah, so Go Guardian was the first system that our district started to utilize. So when we implemented the one-to-one devices for students in 5 through 12, our district obviously wanted to filter what the students were able to get to, but this system also provides administrators, support staff with key information. So if I were to go online on a Chromebook and look up something that is potentially self-harm, that system catches what has happened and sends a key group of administrators an alert to say, hey, Chris has done something that needs to be addressed. Sends out an alert. We had two today that we responded to. Obviously, school's closed. You have dedicated administrators that are still responding continually to things like this. So it brings us information with mental health, helps us to cultivate that. Something very different is Say Something, but through the same lens. Say Something is an alert system that we wanted to implement in the community so that anyone, whether it's a parent, a student, a community member, knows something that is important to us in certain areas that would cause potentially harm to themselves or other, they are able to submit an alert, and it allows that tipster, as we call them, it allows them to dialogue with a crisis counselor 365 days a year, 24/7. So not only is it a reporting piece, but it's a dialogue piece. And what we do with that information is we classify it into two buckets. Either it's going to be something that's life safety and it gets called into the police department for Nassau County, or it's not life safety and it gets reported to us as an internal group the next day.
I just want to say thank you, and I think that for people listening, if they have elementary children, they also get very depressed, and we worry about their mental state, and these are things that they should know that they can turn to for help also. Thank you so much, Chris.
No problem. Thank you.
You kind of just answered the question, but I just wanted to double check. So now that the students are home and they're working off their devices, if they are not on one of our devices and they're using one of their own, are we still able to see if they are on? Is Go Guardian still able to be working?
I believe if they're signed in. If they're signed in. Obviously, if they're on their personal device, they're not signed in. There's no way to filter
right,
back.
Not be,
that's yeah.
If they're on a Google
yeah.
Classroom.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Great question. Any
other questions? Thank you so much, Chris,
no
for giving us such a clear and concise report of a lot of information.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for transporting our students and making sure our staff and our students
my
are
pleasure.
Safe.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, there was a Mr. Donnarumma called himself neurotic earlier, but I think there's a better phrase for that, or, you know, I think we in the business office really appreciate working with Mr. Donnarumma and the transportation and the health and safety staff. We, I think, over the years have done a much better job of knowing where all of our children are all the time. And that is so important because our parents and guardians expect us to do so, and it's really, really difficult. And also with your statement saying that, you know, you want to get that number exact, when he says that, what I hear is he does a really great job of making our contractors work really, really hard and performing to their contracts. So we are getting the maximum value out of the contractors that we use, in part, really because of Mr. Donnarumma and the philosophy that he has in working with them. And in addition, I think when parents call the transportation office, they actually get a customer service presentation, and parents appreciate that because usually when you call transportation, you're usually not happy, right?
Pretty much.
We don't get many repeat phone calls, and that's really good.
That's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
Moving quickly through these next few programs, these are kind of back in towards the back end of our budget.
I have been responding.
although we do have some numbers in private and parochial school support. As you recall, public schools do provide some level of support to private and parochial school education for the students who reside in Plainview Old Bethpage and attend schools, whether they're in Plainview Old Bethpage, Hank, or other schools such as St. Anthony, Chaminade, and the several other schools that were mentioned earlier. Textbooks, we never quite know what's coming to us. The $65,000 appropriation seems reasonable. The cost of textbooks have slowly crept up. However, we have not exceeded that number in recent years. We do know that we do have some funds left, and I know you see that in the appropriation status report, but there are certain books that we will purchase for private and parochial schools towards the end of the fiscal year to ensure that those books are there right at the beginning of the year, basically the replacements that the private and parochial schools can prove to us that they need in order to give their books the first day of school. The rest of the allocation is generally for new textbook adoptions. You'll see some small variations in the technology supplies and technology equipment codes. And those are figures that are, there's a state aidable number, $14.95 per student for technology supplies, multiplied by the expected enrollment of Hank Plainview. All right, that money only goes to Hank Plainview. It doesn't go to other private and parochial schools. So we make adjustments for their projected enrollment. And then the health science supplies, that's actually the nurse's office supplies at Hank. We staff that with the district nurse as per regulation, and we have to supply those, you know, Band-Aids and whatever else they need to operate that office. Any questions on private and parochial?
Nope.
Fourth R program, you know it well. We've set the proposed budget at $59,000. I did, you know, we did discuss this during the budget process. You can see that the actual expenditure is going up from 17-18 to 18-19, and we expect the final budget number to exceed that 51,000, almost 52,000, up to about 55, 56,000, mainly driven by student participation in the program. Kids are using, or parents are using that program, and it's very popular. Any questions on that number?
Susan?
But isn't it, I know we're not doing the revenue side, but that does have a revenue side to portion to it?
Yes, there's a revenue side to it. The revenues from that program go into miscellaneous revenue on the revenue side. The nature of this program is different than before and after care, where we run that through a different fund. The regulations for school budgeting do not allow us to run this through on a separate fund. But we can collect revenue, and it is revenue neutral. I think that question is similar to adult ed, okay, which is the next slide. So we have seen some changes in adult ed, and I do correspond with Mr. Izzo fairly regularly. This is another program where we have to budget for it on the expenditure side in the general fund, but we do collect revenues for the people who are using the program. This year's new programs included in the fall conversational Spanish, felting workshop, painting on the fabric, canasta for intermediates. Perhaps I should take that. I am a canasta player, but I am often put on the bench by my wife. Autumn Harvest, Italian Tea Party, and Night of Chocolate. Going into the spring, we have Learn How to Stencil, Latin Dance Moves, sounds interesting, Flavors of the Mediterranean, and Manja, it's pasta night. This program is running, we do slightly more than break even on both the spring and the fall. We will have to consider how to handle the spring semester because we've put our adult ed programs on hold. The number of courses that are running has seen a slight increase over the years. We've run 47 in the fall. We projected to run 46 in the spring. That's who's registered right now. Just comparing that to spring 2008, that's three more courses than we ran last year. and that is more courses than we ran before. So we're doing okay in adult ed, and Mr. Izzo is looking to give new course offerings. Any questions on adult ed? Right, senior citizens. We all know that we've seen some changes in senior citizens club with the retirement of Mrs. Diano and Gil coming on board. The budget is mostly the same. We're seeing a small increase in the instructional supplies. Some of the things that they're trying to do to increase participation is to do direct mailings to our homes. So there is a cost increase associated with that, and they are looking to run new programs that would entice new seniors. Okay, they don't know how else to put it, but they know that.
As a matter of fact, I received a mailing asking if I wanted to join.
So we do have a healthy participation, but we, you know, our senior citizens group, and I don't know if Dr. Molieri has anything to add, is looking to get people involved who have not been involved in quite a few years to provide a variety to our residents. Questions? Thank you. All right. Any questions?
I don't think so.
Okay, so coming out of Thank tonight, you. We will come back to you with some research on the original question of the night regarding how do we budget or how do we proceed with the possible, you know, the possibility that this could continue into the fall or in any other particular year.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, before we go on to public participation, I've gotten a text from Paula Barsky, Council President, asking me to read this statement. Please state that the Plainview Olbeth Page PTA Council and its units which wish Dr. O'Meara congratulations and are looking forward to the future where we can collaborate together and continue the teamwork we have begun and will continue to do. Congratulations, and she will add more when she sees you. Thank you, Paula. Okay, we're going to go into public participation. Well, wait, I have to read the statement first because I think Nina needs it. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall one state their name and address and two indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, as well as a video, including public participation, is being made and will be posted to the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of other speakers, the Board of Education, and all staff members. The floor is now open. Oh, my goodness, it's Ms. Meltzer.
I'll try not to cut the line.
Good evening, Nina Meltzer, PCT. I think I just had some comments on what an interesting week it has been for all of us. I'm not sure that everybody understands the whole situation and how it developed and how we were going from day to day through a variety of situations. What I am most proud of is that through the difficult days, as I was here in Sandy and experienced with my colleagues, I think that all of us have done an outstanding job of trying to work through the difficult times, the miscommunications, the lack of information and clarity from the state. It has been one of the most intense weeks, I think, that we have been through. And all of it stemmed from concern for our students, for our colleagues, and for everyone in the community. So don't time me. I may run short, I may run a little longer, but I don't think anybody's looking to crowd the mic. But
I think that we've done a lot of good work this week. I think we have some work and some interesting times in front of us. I am proud of the work that my colleagues put out on Friday and the lessons and the information that they put out. I am also going to give a good word to my administrators and the board and central office in the ability for everybody to work together during a really difficult time. I think that speaks volumes to our district. I think it speaks volumes to the people that we work with. And I hope that that can continue. And I think that we have some other interesting times in front of us. We look to work together to the best of our ability so that we can provide safety and security for staff, for children, as well as an educational experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Nina. How do you want to handle what you're getting as emails?
I'll just give the we had four online learning questions around wanting more face-to-face online and wondering a couple questions around that. Asking about the teacher's contract and why we were not able to deliver online learning. My response was generic to almost everyone because the issue around the online learning has to do with Governor Cuomo saying, I have waived the 180. And for those people who are listening, there are some regulations that we have to be mindful of. And one of the most important one is that online learning is not recognized by the state as of now as a substitute for a day of learning. So until the state regulations are changed, it will not be recognized, and therefore part of that has to do with if teachers are working 180 days. Then the part of that would have to be that they're not duplicating that day. So whereas the teachers worked really fervently on Friday to post plans and to put 5 days of instruction, which is what we had given them, to put five lessons on, and many of them, in fact, have been responding to their students. Those 5 days are not going to be counted unless would not be counted. And therefore, so that's one level of why there hasn't been more of an attempt to do face-to-face. But the other thing is that the face-to-face, we really have to work that out because a lot of parents are saying, well, why don't we just Zoom? Well, today I Zoomed with students and they saw firsthand why, a kid running into the room, an argument happening that you don't want to see. So we have to work those out. So we would have to be able to close off the video portion, assure, there's some privacy issues, and we haven't worked that out. Now, someone also said, well, New Jersey has already worked that out. New Jersey did have a plan for school districts to submit their plans for learning online, and then the state would approve those plans, and then those plans would count as part of the 180-day. New York is still not there. As superintendents, and I can tell you we are feverishly working with the commissioner. We have another Zoom tomorrow with the commissioner at 2 o'clock to try to get that online working. We also note that the commissioner, just before the board came out, made another proclamation that we should submit plans by midnight around the food and childcare delivery. By midnight at 8 o'clock, we are hearing that. So I'm not sure that anybody is going to be responding to that. At midnight tonight, but we'll figure it out. He also said in that proclamation that schools would be closed till April 1st. So that's different from what he said this morning. What I'm trying to say to the community is that this is a fluid plan, and that we are trying to do our best to accommodate learning. We have a tremendous amount of material. So many districts have called us, complimenting us on the work that is up there. And so many of our staff are actually interacting with students. So we will work this out. And once we work it out and we're clear as to what credit we can have and what the parameters are for a day and what the working hours are through the governor, we will be able to accommodate more. The other question that came up was about the school play. This, I don't know if it's a student who's asked it, because it's just emails that I'm getting. But the question is about Newsies and what we're going to do. Please note that we've already moved the Matlin play to later in May. I have not had the conversation with Mr. Oliveri or Mr. Murray as to where we could accommodate, because the high school is a different structure. The students asked about that today. When you hit May, you're looking at AP courses, and then in June, you're getting to the end of the year with the region. So simply to change a high school schedule is not as simple as it could be. We also have the fact that we do not have a performing arts center that's separate and apart, and so our play is in the middle school, and the middle school needs that space for their concerts. So we have, and Stratford Road could be another place that we could do it, but it's not air-conditioned yet. It will be air-conditioned soon. So we have those parameters. We're trying the best we can to accommodate all. Another question came about the middle school lighting, whether we had that in the budget for expanded lighting. You do recall that we were able to light the field, but the question is, did we have it in the budget? And I said, no, we did not. So, Mr. Cunningham?
The way I read that was we lit the track, and I thought the person asking the question was asking about lighting the field within that.
Correct.
So
they are, and the answer is no, we don't have it in the budget. But I bring it to the board. And then another question was if we were going to hire someone from within for the superintendent, why do we have a search company? And I think I...
Because we didn't know that before we began our search.
Yes, and I think I...
And we wanted to make sure that we...
Right, we wanted to conduct an exhaustive search,
exactly.
And we did. And that was, that's what we did. I don't know how else to answer that question. What did you say?
So I said, I responded, the board engaged in a thorough process and selected from a group of outstanding educators. Their choice was aligned with the desires of the various community groups interviewed by the consultant. The data collected assured the board that they had selected the best leader to move the district to new heights.
And that's why Dr. Lewis is the current superintendent. Were those all the questions?
That was it so far.
Okay.
I'd like to add one thing regarding, you had mentioned, Dr. Lewis, the food program. We actually did launch that. Application came out on Friday. We filled it out, sent back on Friday. It was approved same day. And today we started delivering meals to those on the free lunch program who asked for us to deliver them. So we sent out a questionnaire. And more than 50% of those who are on the free lunch program asked for lunch to be delivered. Tomorrow we'll be delivering breakfast and lunch to those families.
That's fabulous. Thank you so much. Mary?
Just with the community watching, I think it's really important to keep in mind that Dr. Blaze, who came and spoke to us at the superintendent's conference today, talks about isolation killing. So we have the Say Something app, and we had an online conversation with SEPTA today, Dolores and her team at SEPTA. And we really want to urge parents and students who may be watching now to please use the Say Something app if you notice that some kids are starting to deteriorate, not having the regular access to school, and that they're isolated. So just we have the Say Something app, and we do monitor that.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no other speakers. Sure.
So, I just wanted to obviously send well wishes to those in our community that we and to those in the world that are suffering through this illness. But to the rest of the community, I hope you're all feeling well during this crazy time. But we are Plainview, and in times of crisis, this is where we shine. And I just wanted to mention we need to continue to come together in special times like these. The most vulnerable, please reach out. Ask a neighbor who is a senior or those who you know are not doing well or feeling well if they need anything at the market. Help out local stores who are now suffering. We have a ton of local stores that are, they're doing curbside, delivering. Use those services right, as you can right now. A special shout out to those who are really just helping out. Family Bagel reached out, partnered up with our high school for community service hours to help with curbside pickup for those who cannot go into a store. We do good here in Plainview. Continue to do good. I just wanted to mention this morning I was interviewed by my son. He asked me if I can give advice to someone going through this 25 years from now and look back, what would I say? Honestly, I don't think any two crises are ever the same, which is why it's called a crisis. 8 years ago, we had Hurricane Sandy. I was PTA president back then. We didn't have power, technology, or even Chromebooks.
We didn't.
What we are doing now couldn't be done then, and I wish there was a playbook of what to do in a time of crisis, but clearly there isn't. I'm really proud to be part of this crisis team. A little tired, but but proud. Although I could say I hope that in the fake crisis in 25 years from now, I to those people, I would have to say that I hope that you have, I'm getting like choked up, sorry. I'm tired, I'm emotional. That I said, all I could say is that I hope to the fake crisis in 25 years from now that those people that are as strong as the people that I am surrounded by today. So I want to thank everybody who's surrounded by me, who surrounded me, the people at the table, Tara too, I think she's still there, because I don't know if I could have gotten through this week without you guys. And I'm healthy because you guys are all healthy and that's all I've seen. But I just want to say, please stay strong, because Plainview, this is where we rise. And if you need anybody or anybody needs anybody, like Mary said, just reach out.
Thank you, Lauren. Very well said.
Debbie, yeah. If I could, just 1 second.
Sure.
Our technology department really helped us a lot this week. They're still here tonight as we're videotaping and broadcasting this service. So I want a big shout out to Dr. Ladico, Rich Jankowski, and all the techs for everything that they have done over the course of the last week and a half. They've been over and above. Fantastic job.
Thank you very much. Seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. We appreciate everybody's input, and we thank you. And we thank everybody, as Lauren said and as Vince said, Mary, everybody really rose to the occasion, and that's what you need in the time of crisis. So thank you. And Dr. Lewis tried to keep us calm, and we needed that at times too. So thank you all. Can I have a motion for routine business? Susan, second Lauren. Any questions, holds, or separations? All those in favor? Thank you. Under new business, can I have a motion for 11.2, appointment of Vice President of the Board of Education? Jody, who resigned, was our Vice President. Ginger, second. Oh, go ahead.
I would like to nominate Seth Greenberg as our next Vice President.
Thank you. Second, Lauren. All those in favor?
You can vote. Seth doesn't want it.
Thank you, Mr. Greenberg. Congratulations. Wait, doesn't he have to be sworn in?
Yes. Stand behind the chair.
I, Seth Greenberg, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of the Vice President of the Board of Education of the Plainview Old Bethpage Central School District, Town of Oyster Bay, Nassau County, New York, according to the best of my ability.
You didn't use a separate
phone
for each
letter? Okay. Can I have a motion on the approval of the revised 2019-2020 school calendar?
We really didn't discuss it.
So yes, we should. Well, right. Who wants to make a motion? Ginger, a second. Susan, why don't you explain?
So for the public, we will be placing this on the website. What this does is it moves the April vacation up to March 20th to the 27th. We had 6 days off April vacation. It means that all other days except for the actual Memorial Day, the federal holidays, all other days we will have a school day should the governor not close us down. So we will go the 4 days this week will be closure days. I have no other way of calling them. And then our break will begin the 20th to the 27th, so there'll be no expectation for teaching staff, aides to be present or doing any assignments. It would be we've moved our April break up. And then after that, all teaching staff and anyone in teaching is working through June 26th at this point. Not sure what we're going to do with the days because I note that as of today, if we are closed until the 27th, as the governor originally said, we would still have 176 student days, which is the state minimum, but we will be short one conference day. So that would be a conversation for the board.
Thank you, and don't think this won't change again. So there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor of adopting the new calendar, thank you. 11.4 resolution for existing Central Reserve Fund, a motion. Ginger, second. Susan? What?
I have a question on the motion.
Okay.
So if we decide we want to modify the use of the capital reserve to add the lighting, the $230,000. Are we precluded from later modifying it if we approve it today?
You would have to amend it and get it into the legal notice if you'd have to provide an amended legal notice.
We could do that.
But we could still do it. It's not like we're not on a we're not on a time crunch that if we do it next meeting we could still do it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we did that last year.
Okay.
Okay, Rich, you want to speak about
Well,
it?
Just to clarify what we got the number for was to light the basketball courts and this one basketball tennis court.
No, not the question. I'm talking about the lighting.
Right, correct.
Right.
We would recommend it.
And there are two options on this. Add the, you know, what we think it's going to cost, or don't add and we could still put that in when we finally put the project out to bid as an ad alternate, and if the project cost comes in below budget, it might still fit in there.
Okay.
All right, so those are the two options.
Thank you. Did we vote on it? No. All those in favor? Thank you.
I just want, because I did respond to the person who sent that message in, we have to recall that 8 years ago, we had a muddy track at Peabody Middle School and no lights. We now have a properly created track and lights for the residents to enjoy the walking of the track. What is not done is the inner part of the track, and we made that choice because we really were within budget. We've done that with a limited resources, and I'm pretty proud of what we've done because when I look out on the track and see the community enjoying that, and the other thing is that we have neighbors. We have neighbors around the track, and we have to be mindful of how much lighting you put on a track.
That's true.
Okay.
Thank you. Can I get a motion on 11.5, approval of the legal notice for the annual district meeting and election? Seth, second. Lauren, any discussion? All those in favor? Did we remove 11.6 or were that was the field trips? Okay, so approval of the non-local field trip. Ginger, second. Lauren, go ahead.
I just want to, again, because the public isn't here, and we have canceled all trips through April 20th. And the reason April 20th is that we look at what's happening in New York City, and they've closed down for April 20th. It's likely that we might be affected in that direction. So any trips and any use of our facilities by outside entities have been closed down.
Thank you.
Discussion.
You have a...
Sure. So even if we approve this field trip, can we go back and revisit it since we're not sure what the future will bring if we don't feel it's safe for our students to? Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
When we approve field trips, that gives the authority to do it. Ultimately, you and the building can.
Right.
Okay. So it still gives you the flexibility. We don't have to separately vote on it again. Okay.
Okay. All those in favor? Thank you. The last item of new business is 11.7, declaration of emergency and suspension of purchasing regulations for cleaning and maintenance products. Can I have a motion? Ginger, a second? Seth, does somebody?
It's really the ability for us to be more flexible in our purchasing than what the current flexible the law allows. I don't want anyone feeling that or thinking that we are purchasing things that are unsafe. We follow the guidelines that's identified by CDC in terms of our cleaning products. So it's the flexibility to be able to purchase things that may not be on bid or may not be the lowest bidder because the availability of products, absolutely. The availability of products is questioned at this point. Anyone who's trying to buy some of the cleaning products will know that maybe we'll have to pay more than the highest point. And so this allows us during this crisis to be able to purchase what we need to do our buildings.
Great. Thank you. All those in favor? May I have a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of discussing collective bargaining negotiations and to obtain advice from district council? Seth, second. Lauren, all those in favor? And thank you for coming to our meeting.
Thank you, Nina.
Everybody stay healthy. I don't like the term social distancing. I'd rather call it physical distancing. Social, we should still be talking to each other and et cetera. One more thing.
Paula, if you're listening, we left out one group that has been instrumental this week in keeping the kids connected, and that is our PTA. They started an online spirit week that has taken a hold, so they are asking kids to do a pajama day and take pictures and do things like that. So the PTA really has kept the community connected during this time.
So PTA, thank you very much, and thank you all for... Okay, thank you very much. Good night.